it, like its neighbors, Egypt, Jordan, Yemen, Saudi Arabia, is a key U.S. ally. It's been a U.S. ally in the war on terror. This place literally went to hell in a handbasket in about a month. Mm. And this was considered a model of stability next to those other countries. It had a very educated populace. You know, it just didn't have nearly as many problems with Islamic militants as some of these other countries do. And yet it just it went up in flames. And what experts will tell you is, you know, people in Egypt, they have very similar problems to Tunisia. High unemployment, high cost of living, a very frustrated young population that makes up most of the population. You combine those ingredients, and you could have on your hands in Egypt and Yemen and places like that what you have in Tunisia. And in those countries, violence could get much worse. The stakes could be much higher, especially for U.S. security. If Islamic militants, which are much stronger in those countries than they were in Tunisia, can take hold there, and they can take hold if these governments fall, we're in a heap of trouble in this country, and people should pay attention.
I was reading in The Economist, I believe it was, people talking about the domino theory once again, sort of harking 30 years ago, but real concern, as Tunisia goes, so might other Middle East countries, even countries like Egypt. Again, all these have been real friends of the U.S. over the years.
It could really happen. I mean, you talk to various experts, and some of them will downplay that, saying that some places like Egypt are frankly much better at putting down dissent than Tunisia was, which is a good point. But when you talk about the types of things that tend to start social revolutions these days, and we're talking about what happened in Iran, and in effect what happened in Tunisia, and that's social media, and how when people start to send photos over the internet, mail, the messages about what's going on. If they tweet, if they put on Facebook what's going on, it's hard to keep that under wraps, and it could lead to a domino effect. Social media is such a huge player in these revolutions these days that I think that not enough attention is paid to it. So there could be a domino effect. People in these other countries see what's going on in Tunisia, and they see it instantly now. It's not like the old days where they might see it on TV about a week later and think, boy, that would be nice to do that. They're seeing it as it happens. That really lends more of a sense of urgency, I think, to the situation.
Incredible changes and happening so quickly. The other story you're covering today is the leader of China here in the country, and talk about a country that's been pretty successful at clamping down on that dissent.
Well, yeah, they have been. And, with all the pomp and circumstance and that has to go on when an American president meets with a Chinese one and talks trade, there is a real undercurrent of resentment and frustration in the United States. If you talk to economic experts, if you talk to business leaders, they're frankly tired of the Chinese ripping off intellectual property, of the Chinese imposing these protectionist policies that really kind of make it almost impossible for China to import American goods into China. It creates a very uneven playing field. American business leaders are fed up with it, and there is just a lot of resentment out there. Now, whether any of that is going to come out in these meetings that President Obama has with President Hu, we're not sure. There will be several business leaders in the meeting today, including leaders from Microsoft, Intel Corp, and other places. And maybe some of that frustration will be vented, maybe it won't. We may never know, but the resentment is certainly out there.
And all the pomp and circumstance, it goes, there's a lot of underlying tensions there. We want to quickly get your, because I know you've also been following out in Tucson and just continued reports and now even videos. Really, this story just continues to really grab people's attention.
It really does. This video now of the shooting that we're being told about and the descriptions of it, it's pretty gripping, and it's incredible when you think of just what damage this man could have done if people had not been so quick to act and restrain him. And the video will probably speak to some of that, we're told. We're also finding out some incremental information about him. And again, we have to say allegedly, because we've been trying to call and email his lawyer for the last several days, and we haven't heard back. So we have to make sure that we're fair to at least to at least the legal side of this whole thing. But friends of Jared Loftner's have given accounts of his drug use, and they've said that in addition to pot and mushrooms, he also ingested this material called salvia, which is a hallucinogenic herb. And we did some digging on this and found that it is a very powerful and potent herb that people can smoke. It's legal in some states. It's illegal in others. It's legal in Arizona. And we talked to an expert at Johns Hopkins who said that he just finished up essentially wrapping up a year-long study of the effects of this stuff, and he said he was amazed at how quickly it took effect in his subjects, how intense it was, and he said it basically, the subjects described going into another world, not seeing the room that they were in, not seeing the people around them, interacting with characters that they might call extra-dimensional. I mean, it is wild stuff, and this guy, according to his friends, was taking it. Now, we have to say that there's no evidence that that had any effect on the shootings.
Yeah.
Might have some kind of a window into what he was doing around the time of the shootings.